What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. I just went to my happy place. I just went to Maui, and it was truly amazing. Priceline has always been about getting you to your happy place for a happy price, with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels in Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at DoghouseSystems.com. Get the kind of rig you can be proud of. Go to DoghouseSystems.com and use the code FROGPANTS at checkout.
You are all nothing!
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to... This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 574. It is September 27th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson with Garrett Weinzierl over there. What's up, Garrett?
Oh, man. Introduced before Patrick. I feel special today.
You should feel special. Patrick is also very...
I had to get up at 4 a.m. to take my wife to the airport. I fell back asleep for a little bit. I am now 2 cups of coffee deep. I'm usually a 1 cup of coffee person, so I am wired as hell. Yeah. And in the middle of the episode, I may fall asleep.
Okay, great. Have that to look forward to. You heard him say Patrick. That's also true. Patrick Beja, all the way from, I don't know where you are, Finland right now. Hello, Patrick.
Finland, absolutely. Yes. Guess what I'm doing right now.
What?
Guess, just guess, oh, try, say no, actually, no, you know what, never mind, don't say anything.
You're playing Classic.
I'm what?
You're playing Classic while we record, no? No.
Almost, I'm actually playing World of Warcraft, the real retail World of Warcraft. It's been a long time, and I can't not get that mount, the anniversary mount thing, so I have to be 380 when the thing launches. So two things. First of all, I'm very excited. Second of all, if anyone has an excellent guide on how to get to 380 quickly, please let me know.
World
just go to the Naga Zone, man. You'll get there real quick.
Yeah, but
I'm
just
doing some battlegrounds to get the weapon. You know, you get a weapon when you first get the level of conquest.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Nashatar, you'll get there real quick.
Yeah. So I jumped into Wintergrasp, and oh my god, people have no idea what they're doing. None. Like, it's so old. I'm DPS, so everything takes forever to queue for. Yeah. So I queued for both regular and epic dungeon battlegrounds.
Yeah.
In Wintergrasp, it's ridiculous. Like, people are anyway. Yeah, so
the wait times are bad. Yes. But that's awesome. I'll tell you what, when I was I came back from my big long break right when Classic hit and I started getting all hungry for retail again. I just did world quests even in the basic BFA worlds, like not Mechagon, not Nashatar, and got, you know, 385 to 400 gear with almost every single thing, cash, emissary
world
cash
quest?
Yeah, and the world quest drops themselves, but also the emissary caches that had a item for your spec, those were always dropping right around the 400 mark, so they've all been scaled up to kind of catch you up at the moment.
Of course.
Yeah. Garrett's right though, if you go to the new zones, you'll also bang those out pretty quick, except the mobs are a little harder there, so just know that. And there's also kind of a mob density thing going on in Nashatar that may give you a little bit of gas, but
you need to watch where you're walking.
Yeah,
if you're just running forward on the path, you may pull 16 Nagas and explode.
Yeah, this is all true. But yeah, you'll get there real mighty quick. I mean, I went from, like, I don't know, 360 to 406 or whatever I am right now in pretty quick time. Like, it didn't take me very long to get there.
Chat rooms right as well. If you just do like mythic zeros, you're going to start collecting item level 400 gear really fast.
That's true.
Yeah, but mythic requires, you know, talking to people.
Here's how it works, Patrick. First, you get on one of the most popular video game podcasts in the world, mm-hmm. about World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and
I hear you.
Put a call out. You say, "Hey, y'all, I'm playing European server faction side. You're Alliance, right?"
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, which means he's going to have that damn. You're going to get that B, aren't you? You're going to end up with that B mount, you bastard. Everybody on Alliance side with their B. Oh no, faction only mounts. Freaking F off, B. I want that B so bad. I do. I want that B.
So I hear you, Garrett, but how is that making me not needing to speak to people? Speak to people.
You still have to talk to people. Yeah,
speak to them. Just speak to the people, Patrick. The people want to play with you.
The reason I do podcasts is that I can talk to people.
Talking to people?
And they can't answer. The people listening can't even answer. You guys are fine, but I'm an introvert.
Here's the thing. I am too.
I'm
with you. I'm like that too. I don't love.
Well, listen, dude. You asked. You asked how I can quickly get gear so that I can get them out, and that is the answer.
Yeah.
All right.
I
appreciate.
I would even add to this. This show continues to be, as best I can tell, the highest ratings of any WoW podcast. Patrick literally has the world at his fingertips, but being an introvert is not. It doesn't matter. Patrick could be, you could be the president of France. What's he called? Macron. You could be that guy. And it still wouldn't matter. You wouldn't want a group. You just want to go solo this shit. I get it. I understand.
Yes.
I'm with you. I feel you.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not sure I would want to be that guy. He's not very popular in the country right now.
Right.
And second, actually, you know, it's just that I don't like people, I think. I'm not an introvert. I'm an asshole.
No,
that's the problem.
Yeah, no offense to us.
I live in the middle of the forest in Finland. I rarely see people. I barely enjoy the presence of my kid. I'm a terrible person. Yeah.
All right.
I'm kind of like the French Sylvanas, if you will.
Oh, I see. Are you about to just cheat in a fight and then fly off into the sky? Is that what you're thinking? You're going to do
Wait,
that?
No spoilers.
Oh,
dude.
All right.
Said we were going to do
Here's what we're going to do.
Written for an entire expansion and have no closure?
Here's what we're going to do, everybody.
That might happen.
As Sourfang might say, he would say this. Hold on.
Walk with me the rest of the way.
All right. We're going to walk with him the rest of the way and talk about the cinematic. We're going to get into spoilers. We do that on the show. We've always done that. So I'm just throwing it out there. It's a warning to those who are like, I haven't caught up on the war campaign and I haven't jumped ahead and watched the cinematic yet. Please don't spill the beans. It's on you to come back. Come back later to this episode if you don't want to hear about these things, because it's impossible for us to not talk about them. Okay, you've been duly warned. And I guess you could skip way ahead toward the end of the show and you can still catch emails and around Blizzard and all that stuff. So on you at this point. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to dive right in, and it's going to be fun, and I can't wait. Before we do, though, just a quick note. I spent last week between rep grinding, because that's all I'm doing now to get, I want to get flying, and I'm spending all my time getting unshackled, and what are the Mechagon ones? Loose bolts, or whatever the hell it's called. Mecha bolts. Rep, whatever it is.
It's called my least favorite thing in the expansion.
There you go. It's actually I still prefer it over there compared to, okay, Garrett, I have to give you a little bit of credit. And you said I'd do this, so I guess I'm copping to what you said I was going to do. I like Nazjatar better than I thought I was going to like it. It took some time. I had to kind of get my head around that place. Also getting the whistle unlocked with the quest that gives you the freaking flight whistle. That helped a lot, actually. And also, because I geared up, I just felt less, you know, like I was dying less or, you know, less scary from the mobs and stuff like that, because it is pretty dense in there. I like it a lot more than I thought I was going to like it, on the whole. That doesn't mean the shine of Mechagon is any less, because I still really like that place. But now I don't mind going back and forth. Like, I'm enjoying.
I mean, it was basically, we've talked about it, but it bears repeating. Mechagon was essentially built for you.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Specifically. Like, that is your shit.
Yeah. Somebody the other day was saying, why do I like the third Batman Arkham game, Arkham Knight, as much as I do compared to the other two? We don't, because a lot of people think it's, you know, not the best of the three, but it may look the best, but it's not the best.
I haven't played that one.
Well, I love it. And I think the reason I love it's
pretty good
is because the city's cleared out and it's basically Mad Max in Gotham. Because everybody's just gone full Mad Max in there. Whenever you put a little bit of that sauce in the meat I'm meant to eat, I'm all in. And I think Mechagon scratches that itch for me as well. So you're right. It was made for me. It's my jam. I dig it. But anyway, I've been doing that. But between all of that, I've been doing, for no good reason I could tell you, Pandaria raids solo for Transmog. So I would go like clear all the quests out, clear all my dailies, clear all my world quests. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go do some Pandaria raids and even a couple of Warlords raids. Here's the only problem. And I'm doing it for Transmog. There's a lot of stuff I just never got in there. So it's fun to go do that.
Dude, that's one of my favorite things to do. I love when I get in that mood for Transmog runs. Yeah. I love going back to old raids and running them alone.
And they're beautiful. That Mugushan Palace, whatever the hell it's called in there. It's a short raid, but it's...
I think Mugu is what you order at a Panda Express. I believe he's talking about Mugushan.
Mugushan, thank you. I'm in there.
Mugu, that's the number 7 at Panda Express.
It's the Diarrhea Express. Anyway, I go in there and I forgot just how beautiful those raids are. Like Pandaria raids, something about them just over the top.
The art
awesome.
Team stepped up.
So good.
In Pandaria.
So good.
They're like, this is going to be a little weird. We're moving away from like orc spikes and
yep.
and alliance, golden lion statues. We're moving away from all that. We're going to do a whole new aesthetic. And I think they just knocked it out of the damn park.
You know Pandaria's what I'd take? Beautiful. Here's what I want. I want the game. If they're going to do all the scaling and stuff, you may as well just make it so all of the daily quests or just quests in general in all of the zones when I'm already max level can act like rep getting world quests. So if you told me I could go and just wear a tabard for the Unshackled and then spend all day in Pandaria knocking out quests to get to do that, like the way they used to do it with the tabards in dungeons. Remember those days?
I think that was my favorite way to grind reputation as opposed to where we are now.
Those were pretty cool. I would do that in a heartbeat because I love it in there. I love it out there. I want to be there all the time. Anyway, I got stuck in some geometry in a Warlord's raid, and it really pissed me off because I had to hearth. There was nothing else I could do. I tried everything. I got stuck in a freaking fence thing running, what was it, Blackrock, whatever it was. And I couldn't get out of there, and it sucked donkey wieners. And so I hearthed out. But it was still fun, and I got some shoulder pads I didn't have before, or some pauldrons, some other stuff. Working on my transmog. And then the next day, did a bunch of rep again. I'm really having fun. Anyway, there's all of that. Forget it. That doesn't matter because this week was huge. We got those two big cinematics that were data mined. Everybody's like, what is this 6.5 minute thing? What is this 4.5 minute thing? What is Blizzard possibly doing here? My prediction was that we would have one more fully rendered story-based thing because they've been doing it all expansion. So why not finish it out with something, you know, that again was done in that style with those assets and everything else. And then the other one was sort of an in-game thing, Sarafang and freaking Anduin hanging out, talking about what they were going to do. That one was cool, but it's just, you know, story lead up stuff. But this big final rendered out thing takes place in the entranceway of Orgrimmar, which we have, as far as I know, have not seen in this fidelity since it was kind of shown in the initial World of Warcraft and now Warcraft Classic or WoW Classic intro where the orc is kind of freaking out front with a big club and screaming and yelling when it's showing the orc. And you can kind of see Orgrimmar behind him. Not since then have we gotten like this out of game, fully rendered.
And that would have been old Orgrimmar, which was a lot more wooden than post Garrosh.
Right, right. And there's a lot of flames and stuff around, so you can't even really see it. But here's what you hear when you come up there. I just want to play this. Hold on, give me a sec. All right, there's Orgrimmar. And then you hear this tweak on the music. Right here. That. Oh my gosh, that's WoW to me. Like that is Durotar. It's 2004. I'm running my orc around for the first time. Like, my gosh, that brought me back. Just that little bit.
Isn't that, don't you have that music or at least a theme from it in the zone outside Durotar?
Right.
Crossroads.
Yes, Crossroads has that. It's this great sort of interlude-y thing.
It's all over the Barrens.
Yeah.
Right. It's beautiful, kind of dark, discordant, awesome taste of music. And it was so much fun yesterday because I got to interview Jason Hayes, who was the music director way back in those days. Did stuff for StarCraft, did stuff for
He's the Warcraft original 3. Composer for WoW, right?
Correct. So that intro is his. From the original game, and that right there is just lifted straight from it, and he didn't realize that, hasn't seen the cinematic yet, and heard that for the first time in the interview. You can go listen to it on the, it's in the feed. That was a treat, because he was just like, oh my gosh, I've not heard that in so long, and he loved that they just keep moving some of that stuff forward, like the core themes just never quite leave, they're always part of these intro themes, they, you know, his stuff is just kind of permanently lodged in there, but anyway, the point is, I just love that moment, and I just wanted to get that out of my head, because if you love the starting area of the Horde, and specifically orcs and trolls, and you just have a lot of feelings for that stuff, this particular cinematic thing is, like, pulling all my strings. It's very, very good. Anyway, let's talk about the actual meat of the thing. Thrall, who's played by Chris Metzen, still voicing him. Saurfang, who's played by I don't know who, and Anduin with no security detail. Just want to throw that out there. Maybe the boy king of all of Stormwind and all of the Alliance, you know, maybe that guy ought to have a couple of bodyguards or at least some, I don't know what, some secret service or something. He doesn't need them.
He's the king of Stormwind. And
light is on his side. Also, Jaina shows up at some point because she's there at some point, but also not there at other points.
Was she there? Well, she's not in the cinematic thing because they never modeled her out, right? Like, so she's not
in the fully rendered. No, but she shows up. I mean, like, there's a ton of Alliance. Well, there's an entire Alliance army in the background in the fully rendered cinematic.
Right.
You see both a Horde and an Alliance.
That's true. I guess he's got his people. That's true.
It's kind of implied. Plus, Valyra. It's important to remember that Valyra is really more neutral.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of exists, you know, between factions, and, you know, she's with Anduin, in the in-game cinematic, like the in-game engine cinematic.
Right. And she's also, there's a new model in this patch of her that leads me to think we're going to talk to her more. More is going to happen with her. That happens every time. There's going to be a bunch of new stuff with a character, like, who was it?
Yeah, the last time it was, I mean, in Legion, there's a whole thing with the Void magic and lords and stuff.
Right, and they all got new models. And then you got new, who am I thinking of as the hunter? The Misha bear. What's his name? Rexxar. He's another one.
Greatest
that got
hero in Heroes of the Storm. The only hero you should be playing.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Let's pause right there. What happened to him that you like him so much all of a sudden in there?
Why is he so number one win rate. Number one win rate in Heroes of the Storm right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Freaking Rexxar?
You should see my win rate with him. It's my win rate with Rexxar is dumb. Yeah.
Okay. I need to get in there and see what's going on.
Side note, anyway. No, there's plenty of Alliance. There's just not a focus on Alliance outside of Anduin.
Right. But also so, in the
wait
cinematic.
A second. We're talking about the in-game engine-ish.
No, we're talking about the fully rendered one. Because in the fully rendered one, they're like, well, we've built. Essentially, what you're seeing is everything they built from the Lordaeron opening that they showed at BlizzCon when they announced the expansion, all of the little ones up till now, it features people that were all rendered out for that purpose. And there's nobody new. Like, you don't have, other than Thrall, who kind of came midway, you never had anybody else show up. Jaina is not fully rendered out. You don't have, this is more of a production kind of thing to even notice this. But it's a ton of work to take those characters that far, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm assuming it was kind of why we were able to even have these cinematics in the first place, is that they've reused all of these models that they made for the original cinematic. I have to imagine that was kind of planned out ahead of time.
I'm sure that's the case. And they all have one location. So even if they have to render or model one of those, it's only one.
Mm-hmm.
They're relatively simple. Yeah, it's
Feel it's weird that we didn't get Greymane. Like, Anduin sends him away if you do the Alliance quest. Yeah. I think he to like guard the West Gate or something. Yeah. I forget the exact location.
Right.
But that model, we know there's already a model. Is this Greymane all worgened out? He's shown up multiple times now in cinematics, and it does feel a little bit.
Oh, that's too bad.
I feel a little bit robbed that we didn't get a Greymane and Sylvanas interaction in full beauty. So, because I mean, they friggin' hate each other.
Oh yeah. Plus, Bay or
maybe that's why he was like, "It's okay. You don't have to come. We're fine.
Yeah,
we're fine. We're all fine here. This isn't your fight. How are you?
Be careful, my king," he said, and then ran off like a dog. But then there's the who else was in that original thing? Bane's in there. Like, there's a big Bane Bloodhoof, or at least I think that's who that Tauren is. I actually don't know.
The one that goes,
and he's like lifting the other dead orc around or whatever. He's like taking care of the wounded. It may not be Bane, but they could have faked it. Here's the problem with Bane. I'm running in like quests with Bane for story stuff as I've been catching up. That dude is not made for low ceilings and narrow hallways. He's got these gigantic freaking, it's like walking around with two container trucks on his back, and it's just kind of a problem. But anyway,
I do want to say about the not pre-rendered one.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, these look good.
I know they do.
It is so, like, if we didn't, I love the pre-rendered one, of course, but if we didn't get one again ever, I would like the artistry, because the rendered one are trying to be as realistic, quote unquote, in the WoW style as possible. Yeah. And that's awesome, and I love it.
Yeah.
But the in engine ones, you feel they have like to fiddle with stuff, and I don't know. It looks this game looks so good now. It's mind blowing anytime I see something like that. And props to, of course, the team that Taron Gregory, I believe he heads it now.
Yeah, I think he heads that team. The in-game stuff is headed by him, I believe. I think that is true.
It is. They do such amazing work. Yeah. I did want to mention this before we move on, because, oh my God, it looks so good.
It really does.
I would watch animated series, movies with just those graphics, and it would be completely valid. Like, this is commercial animated level graphics and work, and it's incredible that we get those in the game as like, oh, this little thing. But there's also the real thing, but this is just the small one that you get sometimes, and it's so good.
Yeah, they've been going strong since
that end game step is awesome. I want to see like Wrathgate redone.
Oh, dude, they have. Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be great? Oh, I mean, if they ever do get around to, you know, these expansions end up in classic territory somehow, there's an opportunity there. But then maybe people might be mad because that's not cool. That's supposed to be like it was. It's got to be period.
Dude, if we end up getting to Wrath Classic, I'm going to fight tooth and I'm going to be on every episode banging the drum of add the new character models, because the armor models got so much better in Wrath.
Yeah.
Like, there was such a leap in the art fidelity of the armor. It's like, no, no, give me my good models now.
No, you're right.
I don't need them. I don't need them in Classic. I don't need them in BC if we get there, because the armor still kind of looks like butt in there. But if we get up to Wrath, you make a change. You make a change for the better and give me updated character models.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Wrathgate, by the way, was redone by somebody. Somebody did some kind of a cool treatment of it, but it wasn't Blizzard. It was just like a, you know.
Some... Yeah, it's not quite the same. I mean, they're still hamstrung by you know, what they... What
they only have the tools they have.
I think Wrathgate was...
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think Wrathgate was the first one that team and Taron worked on when they got to Blizzard.
That's true. Yeah, that's what he said.
I think technically they worked on the South Park episode first.
Maybe.
You're right. Yeah. Well, it's not an in-game thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's essentially the same tech that they use.
Yeah, like what they use for Wrathgate, they use there. But then what they do now is a whole different tool set. It's like in-game assets, but there's like crazy smoothing and control over the animated stuff. But Patrick's right. Like, here's what I want. I want a 2-hour movie that looks like the rendered stuff from Blizzard. And then what I want is I want a Netflix show that's 12 episodes that's in the in-game style. Because I think that stuff holds up. It looks really good. Like, you could actually, like, play out some pretty rad stuff using that.
Can I throw some shade?
That middleware, yeah.
It looks better than the Dragon Prince, so yeah, let's do it. That is one of the ugliest shows I've ever watched.
Wow.
Really?
Take that, yes. Dragon Prince.
Okay. But I'm not hideous. An artist. So. I think it's one of the ugliest things I've ever watched before my eyes.
Don't think I've
it's
seen
like modern
it.
Modern-day Scooby-Doo animation.
I don't think I've seen it yet. I need to watch it. Perhaps these are the guys that did that. They're the
airbenders. Background looks like it was shot in an original WoW without the new lighting engine. That's how bad I think the background look in that show.
These are the Airbender people that did it.
Yeah,
it's one of the original Airbender writers. Yes, okay. Yeah. The writing's good. Yeah. I just hate the way it looks.
All right, look, no shade is bad shade here on the show. We can have any shade we want. It's fine. All right, here's before we get to the major story points. I was going to say something that mattered, and if it mattered, why did I forget it? And I don't know why. All right, let's not worry about that then. Let's talk about the implications of it. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Before we get into the story bits and implications of what actually happens to these characters, there are a lot of people who really dislike this, and they dislike the entire arc. They don't like Sylvanas' story. They don't like where this war campaign has gone. They don't like the story bits. Some people say that this is just too close to Garrosh, and the only difference between this ending and the Garrosh ending was that Garrosh decided to hold up inside of Orgrimmar and fight, and in her case, she took off and left. But really, the process has been the same. Somebody who we thought had the best intentions for the Horde, turns out they don't. They're kind of Nazis, and at the end, we either have to fight them or they leave. And a lot of people don't like it. In fact, on Twitter, Twitter doesn't like anything, but in specific to this, I've heard a lot of complaining about how things were going. Jocelyn's not happy. I know multiple people in my circles that are not thrilled with the way the story's gone.
I'm not happy either. I'm not thrilled with it.
All right. So now that we have you, we have someone here who's not happy. I'd like to hear you break down why you are not happy with it. Not saying you're wrong. I'm just really curious.
No one's happy, by the way.
Okay. Well, all right. Let me say this. I find myself so enthralled with the presentation, and I know that's not good enough, all right? I understand that the substance needs to be better, but I'm so enthralled with the presentation that I'm forgiving it a lot. Like, part of me is like, an MMO is a crazy thing to wrap a story around and to somehow do it successfully. I think they did a better job of doing that in Legion, for sure. But the workflow they planned for this expansion, which was, we start things out with this crazy intro, and then throughout the whole thing, we keep giving people more of these. They've never done that before. They've done in-game stuff, but never given us these kinds of expensive-looking, Hollywood-looking, pro-finished rendered cinematics. And so part of me like wants to forgive some of the story failings because I'm just so in love with the fact that they gave us this like high fidelity. And
I'm with you there. I'm really torn. Like I gotta say, I've been having a lot of anxiety about coming on the show today.
No, all right.
I don't like focusing on the negative.
Right.
And I'm not thrilled with it. I really think BFA story wise is up there with my least favorite expansions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Draenor will always for me be, I think, the worst thing that ever happened to World of Warcraft, and it's going to be hard for anything in my mind to be worse than that. Mm. But BFA's close as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And so with that, like I'm already at this point kind of winded by my indifference to the story being told here. But at the same time, I'm with you. I think it's so rad how they've decided to tell at least this part of the story. Mm-hmm. There's so many stories happening in this expansion too, which I think is part of a big scattershot going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked the story in Kul Tiras. I loved the story with the trolls. But the war campaign has just been this really long meandering journey that I am not particularly interested in. And I don't think is particularly well written. And so I just haven't had a great time with it. So yeah, I'm torn in that, like, when I think about it, like, from a writing aspect, I'm really unfulfilled. Yeah. But when I think about it in a presentation aspect, more of this, please, like, can we retroactively go back to everything that came before this and render it out like this? Please redo Arthas's death And I'm really excited for the next expansion because I want them to keep doing this.
Right.
And so that's why I'm sitting here like, you know, people listen to the show. You know, I don't know. I don't want to put too much negativity out in the world because I want them to keep doing this.
Right.
Because WoW has always had ups and downs in the quality of its narrative, as far as I'm concerned. So, like, I just look at BFA as like, yeah, it's not one of the strongest expansions, but it's not the end of the world.
I mean, I quite like the sub story of Jaina's kind of her storyline, I think, is pretty good.
Jaina's story has been fantastic.
Yeah.
I think when we say we don't like the story of BFA, really we're referring, most people, I would suspect, refer to the Sylvanas bit, because there's a lot to like, for me at least, in the story. I think the Jaina bit is excellent. The whole, honestly, all of it, except Sylvanas, for me at least. And I also think it is fair to be critical about that, because it's one of the problem with the Sylvanas storyline is that it's something that is incredibly simple and illogical, kind of. And we all said it from the beginning, and it was like, oh, but this is, not only did we already have Horde Hitler, Orc Hitler, and we didn't need, you know, Night Elf Forsaken Mussolini, but we've been saying from the get-go, this is what's going to happen, right? And it's the only way it can go. And that's really disappointing, because it's not brought to the story in a manner that is convincing for most people.
Yeah. I'm with you there. And also, outside of the game, the folks at Blizzard have been telling us it's not that. They have been going far out of their way to tell
that's
us,
what
no,
I was
gonna
get
it's
to.
Not this black and white. And
that's what I was gonna going to get to.
This is it? This is all you had for me? She's just a bad guy. And like,
yeah. And that's out. The worst part, because as you said, they were telling us, oh, but it's, yeah, no, it's not, I swear. And we're like, oh, okay, I guess we'll see. And I mean, we don't know, maybe there's going to be another cinematic that's going to make everything make sense. But it really doesn't seem like that's the case. So the writing, it's not just the writing of the immediate actions that Sylvanas takes. It's the entirety of the character development of Sylvanas that just, it doesn't just feel hollow. It feels like it makes no sense. And I'd love to hear what people who were, you know, camp my war chief and I'm defending the actions of Sylvanas, which didn't make sense from the beginning. What are they saying now? You feel cheated. I think this is story-wise a really like legitimate thing to be. It's not the end of the world, as you said, and there are many good things in the game, but it's a thing that is genuinely reasonable to be upset about.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't make excuses for that.
I agree. There's a simplicity to it that I'm okay with simple stories if they work, but there's a feeling of like, well, you guys really went with the bare minimum here, and you used a character as a pawn in that bare minimum that everyone really likes. Like, she's kind of a beloved character, for good or for ill, for evil or for good. People love Sylvanas, and it just feels like it's just too flimsy. And to top it off,
I feel like she was.
The disappointing thing is, sorry, just very quickly, the really disappointing thing, I think the thing that upsets the most people, is that it feels like they had no idea where they were going. They thought, oh, you know what would be awesome? If she burns Teldrassil. That would be shocking and, you know, infuriating and inspiring. And it was, but it only, you know, it's like the end of the thing ruining the initial moment and the initial choice.
Right.
And that is very frustrating as well.
Yeah. Gary, you're going to say you're on the
I'm in the, you know, in the camp of where I to a certain degree, I think my fandom for Sylvanas is definitely coloring this, because at the same time, I think they have failed to have meat to her journey.
Yeah.
They kind of just, I feel like I've been watching like Death Note without all of the interesting actual clues for you to kind of arrive at certain conclusions that makes me like that kind of stuff. Cause like, throughout this whole war campaign, we're told like, Sylvanas is a tactical genius. She's a tactical genius. And it's like, I don't see it because you're not giving me anything to go off of. Right. We just end up at point B and there was no journey.
I'm glad you said it that way. Cause here's my biggest beef. And I think my beef is tied to what I loved. And this is a bad thing. I think that from a workflow production standpoint, the fully rendered cinematic team, which is the best in the world, had to make a decision about who are they making, how much of this are we doing, and how early are we making it so that it can be piecemealed out by Blizzard over time. But I think most of this stuff was made a long time ago. Like this final bit is not something they did in the last 2 weeks. This is something they did a year ago. That's how that team works. And they start years ahead on their next projects. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of that was true. And if it is, what that tells me is that had to determine or dictate a lot of the story points. In other words, if it felt like it was a simple sort of garage type thing, well, that's because it was made that way by this very expensive process. And so everything kind of had to be built around it and come to that point and say, okay, well, you don't think so, do you? I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. Cause that stuff's not fluid. You don't get to go, let's say somebody on the story team's like, oh, you know what? This is just too simple. We need to go back and change it. You don't just go back and change it. No, but
that's why you write it before you start working on the, $15 million costing cinematic. You write it first. You write the movie. You write the script before you start filming.
I think it still hamstrings them. I think that is a consideration at the very least.
Not to that level.
You don't think
not to that level. What they did make.
It's like even like for me, like my dislike with this like started with the burning of Teldrassil. And again, like that is like it was this perfect little encapsulation of why this hasn't jived for me. And it started with Teldrassil and it just has continued throughout this entire thing is that I just didn't buy any of the reasoning for it. It just seemed like Sylvanas just got a hair up her ass and decided to commit genocide. and it was also because that outside of the game at BlizzCon, when they show us the art of Teldrassil burning, they're just like, oh, it's going to be so interesting. You're not going to see this coming. You're not going to know why this is happening. And it's like, all you wrote is when she gets mad because some random night elf talks shit to her. Like that, it was so shallow in this major event happening. And it's just like, and I'm not against the burning of Teldrassil happening. What I'm saying is that I do not buy the motivation for it. Whereas, you mentioned, I think it was kind of just an offhand remark. I don't think you were necessarily meaning this, but you kind of mentioned it was something as simple as Garrosh. And I guess my point is like, I don't think Garrosh was simple. I think the creation of the introduction of Garrosh and the buildup to Garrosh being this big bad was a rather, for me, it was a crowning achievement of what World of Warcraft pulled off. Because when I came to World of Warcraft in vanilla and up through the Wrath of the Lich King, what brought me there was Warcraft 3, was my fandom of all of these established characters from the RTSs that preceded it. Right. But Garrosh was this character that we were introduced to in World of Warcraft, we followed the story arc of through World of Warcraft, and really hit a pretty rad crescendo.
I don't disagree with that. All I'm saying, when I say simple, I mean they just redid it. In other words,
I just wanted to point that I wanted to use that more as a springboard.
I love the garage stuff. That never bothered me. I mean, other than people were annoyed that it was so Ford focused, but the thing to remember about that garage thing is important, actually, because the way Pandaria ended, and I think this is about when they started doing this, Pandaria ends with garage escaping, and there's even a book tie into it where he's out of there.
Absolutely.
And now it's on to Draenor.
We don't really see the escape in game. That all happens in the book.
No, you're right. Yeah. But the arc is, this is the first time we're saying there's no final conclusion to this expansion. This one is a crossover, and Garrosh is your crossover. Now we're into the next expansion, and we're now dealing with the repercussions of that. And we're dealing with Garrosh.
It wasn't
again.
The first time. It was Gul'dan leaving for Outland
the next expansion. So at War and Warlords,
you're right. Sorry,
the carryover is the same, but you're right in the pattern. The new pattern is Gul'dan moves forward to this expansion. To Legion, I'm sorry. And then in Legion, he's a big deal, but then we're dealing with other big deals. And then that game, same deal, has lead into this one. And this one is now doing it again. She's off. In other words, you could argue that we are not at the end of the story, and we're not, and so our criticism of like, oh, how did this story go? I mean, I think we can be critical of how this arc went, but it's a whole new arc now. She's off to do whatever, and we've got to figure that out, and we don't know who the war chief is. Like, we're in the middle of it.
We're talking about the cinematic now. I mean, we've been implying that we know what happens there, so it's full spoilers. The way she gets to the conclusion in the cinematic, it's incredibly disappointing. You know, she just essentially we've been led to believe, and she's been saying that she has the Horde's best interest at heart, and she does it for many reasons. And as Garrett said, she's a tactical genius and all of that. And it's all for the Horde. And in the cinematic, it takes a second and a half, and she's like,
well,
you are nothing. The Horde is nothing. And that's it.
It takes a little more than that. It took a nice poke in the eye by one of the twin blades.
Okay. It takes 3.5 seconds. But no matter what happens afterwards, unless there's, and it's possible, as I said, maybe there's some kind of stroke of genius by Blizzard that will make all of this understandable and worth it and make sense. But even if it makes sense, the delivery is disappointing. That's not going to change. I don't think it can, especially since we've been saying for months now, this is going to go like that. It's going to be disappointing. It's going to be disappointing. And now it is. So that's not going to go away. You know, it's like,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. They have laid the groundwork for this, because this entire expansion, starting with the book, they have just written Sylvanas as an evil bastard. Yeah, essentially
from the start.
And what I put forward is that up until before the storm, that wasn't the case. She was pragmatic. The reasons that the Alliance hated Sylvanas in Legion were actually murky, were actually shades of gray. She calls a retreat for tactically sound reasons. They were losing that fight. All of the Horde leaders were about to die on that hill, and Sylvanas calls the retreat. And that causes the Alliance to start hating her and distrusting the Horde again. That's well written. That's interesting. You get to before the storm, and suddenly she's entirely inward thinking, and even calls an attack on her own people for selfish reasons. And that's been her arc through this entire. It's been the one note they have been banging over and over again throughout all of BFA. And I'm just bored.
Yeah, no. It is pretty one note. I mean, and the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, she's a racist, or she believes that everybody undead is the only way to achieve anything. So I think that's what's in her heart. That's what's in her mind. She takes off. She's the new Lich Queen or some weird shit like that next time. Like, I don't actually even know what to predict. But I wonder if you guys have any.
It's old gods, right? It's probably going to be old gods. And even if it isn't, even if it's the Void Lords, again, it doesn't really matter. It's already done.
But she'll play a role in that, is what I'm saying. Like, we're not done with Sylvanas.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. She's leaving.
Yeah.
She's leaving, but not gone. That she's the crossover. She's our Gul'dan. She's our Garrosh. She's our crossover character.
Yes.
It will take us into the next story.
That's probably the case.
It's time to bring Shit Wizard Khadgar out of the closet, dust him off. Let's get him going again. We need the Shit Wizard. I'm telling you, he needs to come back. All right, so
that's the problem. You know, this is what Khadgar has been trying to tell us this whole time. Knowledge is power, and we have no knowledge of what is actually motivating Sylvanas.
Right.
Knowledge is power.
Now, I'll tell you this. She's not going to be happy me saying this, but my daughter, I made them sit down and watch this with me, of course, and she got teary about Saurfang, and I think that's a sign that Saurfang was actually written pretty well during this. So the structure of all this has issues, but a lot of minor character stuff or lesser character stuff worked out pretty well. I think Zappy Boy is not even really in the story, but somehow he feels like he is. He feels important.
But Scott, of course, as we said, there are many parts that are great about the expansion and about the story. I think Jaina's arc is really cool.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff, but that doesn't change, you know.
No, I'm not saying it changes.
I don't think that's what he was saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
In fact, considering where this conversation went, I think it's really important to talk about the positives, because we've been cranky little jerks right now. I think Saurfang's been solid. Again, little on the one note. It's like Sourfang is the good guy. It's like I get it. I'll tell you where I would have been furious and probably just thrown my monitor across the room. If Sourfang made it out of this alive, I would never trust the writers of World of Warcraft ever again.
You knew he was going to be the one. And there's a very poignant moment at the beginning of this thing where he says, you know, maybe only one life has to be lost today. And you think he's talking about Sylvanas Windrunner because
I'm like, oh, he's talking about himself.
I think everyone understood.
Well, they do, but that's my point, is it's a nice subtle, not so subtle, but subtle nod to the, you know, this is your last stand. And she's such a freaking cheater. The whole rules of that fight, of that challenge, is that you can't interfere with any kind of magic. You got to fight hand to hand, and that's it. Thrall can't come in and intervene. Neither can Zappy Boy. Nobody can. You're supposed to fight.
Have we seen a Makara that didn't involve cheating at this point?
I mean, they all involve cheating.
against Durotan. We got Thrall cheating against Garrosh. I mean, I guess Garrosh technically didn't cheat against Cairn, but we don't really see that play out. Again, that kind of happens off
the screen. Prumos in the chat says the challenger has to make the rules. So everything is allowed, and Sourfang didn't make any, so Sylvanas didn't cheat. I think that's a stretch and a half. I wouldn't buy that. I mean, it's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's over. She's outed herself as the biggest mustache twirling villain in the history of World of Warcraft, and she's going to peace out anyway, so why not take Sourfang with you?
Which,
at this point, if this is the Sylvanas we're dealing with, that's well written. That's consistent with the writing I'm not a fan of. But yeah.
What do you think that spell was? Was that the thing she shuts towers down with in Heroes? What do you think that was? She shot out.
There's a lot of theories running around. Like she's got like old god power or something. I mean, it is revealed at like post cinematic. If you did the sympathize, if you're a Sylvanas loyalist, you get an extra scene with her where she reveals she's allied with Ajara.
Oh shit! How did I miss that?
Oh, that's important to talk about.
Yeah, that is incredibly important. Did y'all not know this?
No.
Am I dropping news to you?
You're dropping news. Well, you gotta understand. I haven't done it. I did side with her, but I didn't. Oh no, I sided with. That's why I sided with Jimmy John. I sided with Sourfang. I didn't side with her, so I missed that. Damn. So wait,
I don't know. I really feel like people are overblowing the theory crafting here because it's purple smoke. We've seen her use purple smoke many, 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 many times this expansion.
Yeah.
So we've never seen her do like a purple smoke Kamehameha, but like, it's not like, I don't think it's that, I don't know, dude, to me, this is like people complaining about new force powers in the Last Jedi. I'm like, y'all, Star Wars is nothing but new force powers. Like every time we see a new Star Wars movie, so you're all, I don't understand you.
Yeah.
And seeing anyone complaining about Kylo freezing a blaster bolt midair in Force Awakens. But
I'll tell you what, I mean, no matter how you can complain all day about how two-dimensional her story stuff has gone and how her characterization has gone. But I'll tell you what, man, on the badass meter, everybody's at a 10. Like they all just look insane. And that fight was amazing. And her slicing away at Sourfang was great. And her sitting next to him and saying, old soldier, it's time for you to freaking whatever. Like, it's so badass. Everything about it.
You were impressed.
Oh, my gosh. It's so badass. Everything about these are cool. They've always been cool, right? Like, once they got their heads around, we're going to have the greatest cinematic team in the history of video games. It's just all been great. Like, name another 15-year-old property where the original cinematic is still good all these years later. Like, it's unbelievable. But anyway.
Honestly, if we're going to go to the badass meter question, I would say that the moment she turns Banshee in the original BFA cinematic is one of the most awesome, like empowering feeling ever in games. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's unlike anything else. Question, yeah. And now I made this video yesterday. I can't actually show it on the screen. Sorry, but everybody can play the
Scott
audio.
I want those 5 seconds of my life back. I watched that video.
But I'm gonna play the audio because it actually illustrates my point of how quickly she turned on her people. So from the first cinematic to the last, here is her change in tone.
Is nothing.
All right. I mean, come on. She just completely just turned around. The Horde is nothing. All right. I'm off to Purple Land. See you guys. Like, she's out. Done.
So little echo in that second clip. It's incredible. How dare they?
Well, I mean, she's still like kind of somewhat banshee form, right? In that first one. So, you know, it's a little bit of a banshee's wail.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. She was kind of still coming out of
the smoke. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like the fight. I mean, when they first started fighting, I'm like, so Bob's just going to kick his ass, right? Like, there's no way Sourfang wins this fight. And like the way it opens up and her just like instantly like seven stabbing him, just like cut, 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 cut. Like,
I was so like, yeah,
the fight itself is awesome.
So at least this is on point. I'm here for the battle.
Yeah. Like in that way, I guess I'm never disappointed. But when I start thinking too much about the actual motivations of these characters, I think things could have been constructed better. You could make an argument. I know there's a lot of conspiracy out there. Well, remember, this is the first one. This is the first expansion where Metzen had nothing to do with it. Maybe we're seeing, you know, his the loss of that, of his, at least him.
I so don't like my brain to go there, but I'm kind of going there.
I mean, I don't like to either. And neither does he, by the way. He would shut this down. He would say, no, it's a team, and it was never one person. He would say that.
Yeah, it's not like we didn't have some, Sylvanas, specifically the Sylvanas character in that expansion is very, very poorly developed.
Right.
But that doesn't, don't let the feelings of, you know, the systems and gameplay from the first year of the expansion cycle, which was disappointing, don't let that unfairly color the entirety of everything in the expansion. It's kind of that was a problem. The Sylvanas character is a problem. There are many things that are great. And it's not like there weren't issues in previous expansions as well. We just mentioned Warlords of Draenor, which honestly was not great in many respects. So Maybe it's because, you know, Metzen isn't there anymore, I guess.
You know what was great, though, was the Makara between Thrall and Garrosh. That was pretty sweet.
That was pretty good. Because it involved a giant dirt fist. That's why. Because a big dirt fist came up and got Garrosh right where he calls himself home.
Giant dirt fist was my wrestling name in high school. nice. Yeah, nice. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, WoW has always kind of had this... it's always had a real scattershot of multiple different arcs happening at the same time. So I don't know why. Never mind. I do know why. BFA has really just affected me more than others because Sylvanas is one of my favorite characters ever. And I just dislike the direction they took her.
I think that's what you just described is a lot of players. I think a lot of people feel that way. And that's why people are getting rubbed wrong by this stuff. I mean, I have not, I would absolutely not put BFA as my least favorite expansion in this history of this game. I wouldn't even put it in the bottom. Well, I'd put it in the bottom two because I think Warlords and then this and then, you know, then you kind of go up from there. But I am excited about what happens next.
So absolutely not as the worst expansion, but the second worst.
Yeah, I mean, not the second least good because there's still so much I enjoy about it.
I don't know. I think there's a lot about BFA's stories that I think I like more than Cataclysm, for example. So I think for like least favorite expansions, I think I still might go like top three. Number one is Draenor is my least favorite. Yeah. Number two is probably Cataclysm. I think BFA is going to come in at number three.
Yeah, I'm somewhere there too. But I don't know. There's things about Cataclysm I really liked. I don't know.
I'm so happy in BFA to return to Jaina's arc.
Yeah.
I think they've done a really good job with it. And I love everything going on with the trolls. And like, Buon Sandi?
Oh, the trolls are amazing.
I know he's technically appeared in the game before, but like, this is really his kind of debut as a regular character.
Dude, all that stuff, all the stuff in Zandalar, all the stuff to do with the troll lore and stuff has been really great. Like that.
Yeah, that's why I say the problem story-wise with the expansion is really just Sylvanas. And there are many great things in the expansion, even story-wise. So let's not forget that.
The Starhammer in the chat says, Scott, why do you dislike where Sylvanas' story went? ~? I don't get it. She is an undead.
Oh, we just said that for...
Yeah, we've been talking about it for about an hour. So, I think maybe you came here late. Starhammer. You may have just shown up.
Yeah, but no, Starhammer's been in here beating this drum for a while. You're just now noticing it.
Yeah, that must be. I'll say this.
Yeah. This is kind of my closing point on why Sylvanas doesn't work for me. For me, some of my favorite characters in Warcraft, actually my favorite characters in Warcraft have been the villains because historically Warcraft, I think, writes some of the most sympathetic villains. Arthas, truly evil, but you can understand the arc that this character went on, how this character arrived at the dark place that they went to. Illidan, even though he's been back and forth between good and bad. Same thing. Kael'thas, sympathetic. You can understand how he fell from, you know, from grace. Garrosh also as well. I think these were well-written villains where you just, you probably disagree where they end up, and right. you don't, I may question your outlook on life. But Sylvanas, for some reason, there's just no sympathy there. Like, how do you, I don't understand how you sympathize with her.
You can't sympathize with her. I mean, the bottom line for her has always been she's a tainted lady. She's tainted, man. I'm tainted.
They started this last expansion.
Yeah.
This last cinematic, how can you empathize with her?
You can't.
She's saying, you are nothing, the Horde is nothing, and flies off, twirling her mustache and giggling. Like, the only explanation that we have at this point is that she was corrupted by something, either the old gods or, you know, the Void Lords or whatever. That's the only justification, which is a shorthand to say she's evil, right? Yeah. That's not, okay, she's evil justifies anything. That doesn't work. So how can you, I don't get it. I would love to hear someone defending the character development, because I don't understand how that could ever work.
Right, but the bigger question is that people are mad because they took this character that everyone likes and they don't like where they've taken it, but they've taken her to a place that she was sort of predestined to go anyway, so...
No, why?
Because she was always going to do this. She's never going to go, you know what, I've decided as Sylvanas Windrunner that I've decided I'm going to be all nice now and... turn everything over to the better.
No, she could have taken control of the Horde and used it for its own ends. She's not doing that. She ran away. She flew off.
She wants to kill everybody. You know, she wants everyone to be undead like her. She's never gotten over it.
Right. Again, I'm not saying that I don't think Sylvanas could have ended up as a villain. I just don't think that they put enough effort into making it believable or interesting, is my point. Yeah. I think it's totally fine if Sylvanas becomes a villain, but put the same effort in, pay her the same respects that you paid Arthas, that you paid Garrosh, that you paid Kael'thas, that you paid Illidan.
Yeah. Starhammer's comparing this to Hitler, and should we have sympathy for him? Don't do that with your fictional characters, guys. Don't. There's
My
no
God.
Need.
Could you,
no
could
need.
You take this to a more extreme end of the pendulum?
Yeah. Don't even. There's that is absolutely like the worst possible comparison. It's a fallacy argument. Don't do it. It's dumb.
But, I mean...
Garrosh is basically an orc Hitler,
yeah, exactly.
and I understood where the character
right, but it's
came
a video
from.
Game where everybody's killing everybody, and guess what? The cinematic, for some reason, all the Horde heroes, all the heroes of both the Alliance and the Horde throughout all time somehow don't have the same option for resurrection that the rest of us plebes do. So I can be in a raid, fall over dead, someone go, don't worry, he'll give you a thing, and I'm back to life, or I can run to my corpse. Sourfang's not offered that opportunity. He's even got Anduin there. Anduin can res everybody in a giant bubble.
You gotta take that stuff far out of your mind if you're ever going to enjoy Warcraft stories, ever. Like, we have to
or
have
any
that.
Fantasy story.
Yeah, you gotta just put... That was like with the cool Jaina boat artillery cinematic, people were just like, why did it take her so long? She's a mage. She could just make a portal. It's like, you just got to put that crap out of your mind if you ever want to have a cool epic event ever again.
Yeah.
In a Warcraft cinematic. Yeah. That kind of stuff. I'm like, well, I can let that slide.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to do? Resurrect literally everyone who has ever died in the history of Warcraft?
I mean, right. Exactly. It's a dumb thing to get hung up on, but that's my point. We're in this fiction. We should treat it as such and not rope Hitler into this, like actual bad people, because who cares? Like, that's a whole,
again,
this is fun.
Garrosh was called Orc Hitler and everyone was, I think it's a fun.
Oh, it's a fun comparison because Hitler was a dick and we don't care. Like, no, I get that. I'm saying if you went, oh, you have sympathy for Sylvanas? How about Hitler? Do you have sympathy for him? That's the wrong thing.
We're talking about fiction writing here. We're talking about what we enjoy.
No,
as
I
fans
think
of fiction.
I'm not even trying to drag the Star Hammer. I'm not. You said a thing and it set me off. I'm talking in general
here. It's an example. Right. I get where you're coming from.
I will say, however, the reason that it's not getting out of hand is that it is a video game. Because anyone who has sympathy for Sylvanas, I would say, but why? I don't get it. Like, that's ridiculous. She's dumb and she's violent and she's racist and whatever. If someone actually says they have sympathy for Hitler, then it's a different conversation, right? It's not just, it's
a whole different conversation.
So that's all I'll say about it.
And also, you can't just connect them automatically and go, oh, you have sympathy for Sylvanas. Ergo, you must have sympathy for
Ergo, of course.
It's like, yeah, can we just have a little fun in our conversation about fictitious characters?
Yeah, it's fun.
Season? Thank you.
It's fun. Actually, and that's my one thing about all of this that I do like is that all this disagreement, all these people with their strong feelings about it, it's great. It's fun. It's a good discussion. Be nice
this
to each other, though.
Always, to get meta, this is something I will always struggle with because I don't like all the negativity on the internet. But at the same time, I want to be able to the three of us sit here and just have this conversation as friends.
Yeah.
And just geek out about this. But I don't want any. If you disagree with me, rad. Please continue disagreeing with me. I hope I didn't diminish your enjoy. If you really truly enjoyed this and loved everything about it, I really hope I didn't take anything away.
No, I don't think so.
But I also want to debate this with my nerdy friends here.
Yeah, that's what you want. And also, I'm very pleased about one side effect of the entire thing. We have that undead flag lady is everyone's favorite thing now, and that's pretty cool. So we're all into her. My daughter drew a big illustration of her yesterday. Everybody wants to be flag lady, so that's the thing. I like those kind of memes.
Yeah,
that's
the real winner here.
The real Tink. The real winner is Tink the flag lady.
Or Banner Bay. Yeah, Banner Bay.
Banner Bay. So, all right, final question. I do want to say this too. Twin Blades, Varian never beat Sylvanas in a head-to-head fight. Someone should have told Saurfang that. Those blades didn't help him. All right, second of all, where will there ever be a new war chief? Do we need one? Thrall, Bane, or no, nobody? Are we just a chiefless? It would be like if
Anduin. We're just talking about who deserves it. Who put the work in? I think Bane deserves to be war chief more than anyone else.
I do too. I just I also just like his like more steady hand, his more thoughtful way of doing. Like Bane's your man. He's your guy, or a council. Chat room says council, maybe. The Zappy ain't it.
The Blood Elves, I think, have a good thing going. I think a council is a good way to look at it.
Council is a good idea, right? The problem is, but then you got, so Anduin he's like leader of Stormwind, but he's not really head of the entire alliance. Those guys all have their own, it is kind of a council, right? Like he doesn't call all the shots.
No, he is the head of the alliance.
He's technically the head, the same way, the king. Yes.
Is he, though? Because you got Prophet Velen walking around going...
It's not. He's the head of the Alliance. I mean, you have faction leaders or, race leaders in the Horde as well.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean when there's a war chief, they're not the chief.
Yeah.
I don't get why he wouldn't be the head.
Well, what do you make of these theories floating around that this is a chance for Blizzard to get a third faction going? Like, or even more. Like,
I think it's a chance for them to get rid of faction lines.
Yeah,
that's.
I got more in the other direction.
If anything, do you remember there's the fact that we now have the little symbol for the character faction in the character selection screen after you select your realm?
Oh yeah, I'm full tinfoil hat on that.
Yeah.
Like, why else would they do that? There's got to be, there is some, there. That wasn't just, now I'm reminded that GURP is Horde while the big giant orc's on screen when it's selected. Gosh, I forgot he was Horde. Thank goodness that symbol's there to remind me.
Well, the lines are already blurring because, we have basically the Blood Elf model on the Alliance in the form of the Void Elves. We have basically the Night Elf models on the Horde and the lines are already blurring. We already have, we've established Alliance side undead with Kalia Menethil and the light undead.
It would be so weird though if we didn't. I mean, we would still have factions for maybe not for battlegrounds. It could just.
I think you would have to. I don't think mechanically it has to be crazy. This is just really on my mind because like I just watched Taliesin's video on this whole thing and he kind of touches on that and I don't want to retread. You also just go watch Taliesin's video because I think he did a really good job of kind of summing this all up, but it's on my mind because he mentions that video that like just it's really mechanically ingrained in this game, like the faction divisions, so I don't think it would be as simple as just removing it entirely, but I could totally see because we're already mixing silhouettes across races on both factions. Why not just make it so you could just choose? You play whatever race you want, and you can go to the other faction. And hell, why not let you change it on the fly?
I'd be all right with that.
Why not?
I think The thing is with the factions, though, the problem they would be looking to solve, I think, if they got quote unquote rid of factions, would be the imbalances on servers and for PvP and stuff like that. So if they still exist, I guess maybe if you can switch whenever, that kind of solves it.
I mean, if I could interject, I think a lot of the, and this is also very much on my brain right now because I'm playing Classic and thinking about all of the improvements that have made it to the game over the years. A lot of the quality of life changes, like the big ones for me that I'd like in retail, are things that make it easier to play with your friends.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and blurring the faction lines would just remove one more artificial barrier.
Yeah, you raiding, you already do stuff. You already have things in the game on a macro and a micro scale where it's like, hey, for this thing, you're going to have to work with the Alliance a little bit to get it done. And I don't know why we can't do that with raiding, for example, because you're doing the same raid we're doing. You just have this artificial separation. Like, why can't we go, why can't for this one day?
I mean, we could.
Well,
we could. It's just that it's weird for the history and the legacy of the game.
Right, it's weirder for certain races than it is for others.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like someone brought up, where is it? PGH in the chat room says, but a human horde player, Garrick, given the history of humans versus orcs, would that make sense? I mean, we have a history of humans that are sympathetic to orcs. It's definitely not the majority, but it's happened in the lore.
Sure.
So it's not completely insane. But like that's I'm with, they're not wrong. That is weirder. But like Torin, like they already hang out with the Night Elves all the time in the Cenarian Circle.
Yeah.
Like, why, they're already buddies.
Look, if Anduin Rin can be a pallbearer on the fly carrying a big fat orc into Orgrimmar, I think we can figure some stuff out. That's all I'm saying. If he's going to be on the corner there, and that cracked me up, by the way, because you got giant Thrall and big old tall zappy boy and little tiny Anduin on the end. Just trying to pick up big old freaking Sarafang and take him into the thing. That cracked me up. There's no way that worked. But
yeah. I mean, if we want to keep going on the World War II analogies, French and German people were certainly not in love with one another. Like during World War II, they weren't friends. But it doesn't mean that, you know, a year later or whatever, if you saw a German person, you would take your knife out and knife them in the street, right? You could still have a conversation and whatever.
Right. You know what I mean? Beat them like with an extremely hard baguette. That's just not your weapon of choice.
Baguettes are a weapon of love, Garrett. Not of war.
I will banish you with tasty bread.
Yes. I mean, it's like we have this image of Warcraft because all we do is fight between the factions, and we have the image that everyone always fights. But the history of WoW is all, and logic dictates that it doesn't. A war like this doesn't mean, especially when it lasts 100 years or 50 years, like is the case in WoW, in Warcraft. Doesn't mean that when you see someone from the enemy faction, you immediately start murdering them. There's still commerce, there's friendships, there's anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's many, many reasons that this could. It's just the spirit of the game, which I think some people are going to say, oh, but this isn't WoW because this and that, and they're going to be upset on principle,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. I think we still need to have the lines for mechanical reasons, but I think at some point, if you wanted to have a horde human, you wanted to have an alliance orc, like, I don't see any reason why you can't headcanon that. Like, this is, there's still, RPG is still in the, all the letters that make up MMORPG. Like, you can headcanon that. I mean, the game has done it many times, or Warcraft has done it so many times in its lore. How many times now have we seen the horde and the alliance band together to defeat a greater evil?
Right. And they always come back to fight each other again. But you could argue that the Warcraft, even the word, is about Warcraft, in this case, two chief factions that go against each other. If they ever took that out, that would seem very fundamentally weird to remove it. But I'm with you. The actual outcome, I think, would be fine. Like, and I'm not saying suddenly everyone loves each other. I'm saying, why can't GURP go, man, I don't like the way things are going. This new council sucks. I'm going to go join Anduin and his band of weenies. And just go, you know, convert to Alliance. And maybe that's expensive. Maybe that's a huge pain. Oh,
that would be the day when GURP turns into an Alliance character. I want to see that so much.
It's not going to happen.
I would be stoked to have my Night Elf Hunter, my original main, hanging out with Scott's original main, just out there doing hunter shit.
I mean, that could be pretty fun. So
I would be so actually stoked about that.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that convinced me. I'm like, I would love to see how that would work out. Like, and role playing wise, as you said, Garrett, like a human actually going over to the Horde and being a Horde, like in the Horde faction, is character-wise and role-playing-wise super interesting.
It's a you're it's talking a about defection. It's defection.
In any fiction with clearly defined factions, that's a huge trope. I mean, also historically, but I'm done with the historical analogies. We're getting ourselves into the weeds there. But like, look at Star Wars. Like, it's really like there's clear faction lines in Star Wars, and there's defectors and conversions constantly.
Yeah,
in that.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Take the race out of the choice is what you're saying. No more race in the choice. The choice is faction and who cares what race you are.
That would... To me, that seems, you know, in my armchair developer brain, seems like the natural way to do it, because you still need faction lines, you still need battlegrounds, so on and so forth. But there's no more... Gone are the days of Classic where you have, you know, only shamans on Horde, only paladins on Alliance. That's been gone since Burning Crusade.
Right.
Like, so it's really at a certain point, it's like racial abilities and silhouettes. And the silhouettes, that's already no longer a unique thing anymore.
No, it's not. It doesn't really elves work.
Are the exact same silhouette as a blood elf.
Yeah. They don't look. Yeah. I think there's not enough differentiation there to make that your reason anymore. The silhouette argument's kind of weird.
Also Pandaren. Like, Pandaren already flirted with this.
Yeah, they're already multi... You know what? The Pandaren are already this thing. You're describing Pandarens. And now they can't change their minds now. You know, they're locked in. So that doesn't...
Well, they can for money. They'll gladly take your money.
They'll take your money. So maybe they just let everybody do it and they'll take your money. Because that's what it...
There's already a faction change service in the game.
Right.
So but it also anyone means can race. Do it for money. Yeah. It magically shifts your race as well. But
And I don't. That's what I'm saying. Eliminate that. I still want to be orc. I want to be GURP, and I want to for a year. I want to pay $25, and I want to hang out with Alliance and taste the other side. And then at the end of that, I'll pay another $25 and get the H out of there. You know, that's what I want to do.
Or maybe you won't. Maybe you'll find
maybe
the delight in being. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. This is all obviously we're making all sorts of funny ideas that may never come to fruition. But let's see what they do with this next.
Well, this is the really next, this, next, this next is to thing. Me is like one of the big positives from all of this. Like whether I agree with the story or not, I think the world is left in an interesting place. I'm not in love with the journey. I don't hate the destination. Like I think I'm still very interested to see what the hell happens next.
Right.
Maybe not so much with Sylvanas because I'm just straight up impatient and grumpy about that thing. Right. But what, like, who's the next war chief? Is there a war chief? What do they go to? You already talked about that. You know, what's going on with factions? I love occupying that place in my brain. That's a fun place to put it.
Yeah.
If you ask me my opinion on Sylvanas, I immediately spiral into a grumpy position. But
yeah,
everything else, I really like to think about this and headcanon it and think about what could be the possible future of this. And from a meta sense, Classic WoW has only fueled this fire for me. It is just dumping gasoline on top of this of like, we've got Classic. You want old faction divides? Check it out. We're going to start blurring the lines even more in retail.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of interesting to see those roads split even more, potentially, with this faction stuff. Also, level squish, if that's really coming or not, what that means. Is that purely mechanical? Is it somehow tied to story? Like, there's a lot of I have a lot of questions about how that level squish is going to work.
A month from now, right?
No,
it's going to be amazing.
I didn't hear it was a month from now. A month from now? Oh, you mean the announcement?
Well, okay,
yes.
A little bit longer.
Sorry, I thought you meant the level squish was a month from now. I'm like, wait, a level squish in a month? What are you talking about?
No, BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Surely we'll get the announcement.
Yeah, all that stuff will get announced there. All right. Also, Gazlo for Warchief. All right, moving on. How about Classic update? Garrett's playing still and leveling, streaming it, having a good time. How you doing? Where are you at? What's going on with Classic?
Yeah, I experienced everything we just talked about through spoilers. I haven't actually played it myself.
Very nice.
I have been all Classic because I just not leveling as quickly as I would like to, and I'm about to start traveling like crazy throughout pretty much the entire month of October. So I'm about to hit pause on any progression in any World of Warcraft.
Any video game in general. You know, what's funny is I see you online. So I'll get online and I'll notice like after this patch dropped, how many of my friends were all classic all the time for about 2 weeks now, and then suddenly everybody's over in, you know, BFA, except Garrett. He was the only one that had it moved back over. But that was interesting to see that, because everybody was like, I'm going to go finish that war campaign, and then I'll go back to classic after that or whatever.
I don't have flying, and I'm not going to get it anytime soon because I hate rep grinding, so I just don't really want to be there right now.
Sure, I get it. For some reason, I'm embracing the grip grind right now, and I don't know why.
Yeah, dude, you got to be in the mood for it, and I am not right now.
I don't know why.
Not in the mood for it.
I'm not. You're right. There's a certain kind of mood, and I happen to have it right now, and it could leave any second. Any second now, I could be just like, nope.
You gotta get in there. You gotta get it while the feeling is good.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's like, oh man, it's so weird that Scott played Classic and now he's playing Retail. I'm like, no, I understand it entirely because I've done this with other MMOs. It's just this time for Scott. The MMO was wow.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And it's weird because I cannot believe how many emails I've gotten. Here's another example of it in a totally different game. I get a Switch Lite, you know, for business reasons. And I decide to pick up Day and Date that with a copy of Link's Awakening, which I loved on the Game Boy back in the day. Wanted to see this remake because it's a full remake. It's beautiful and all that. And super good. I get a little ways into it. And I end up giving the cartridge to my daughter because she's also got a Switch Lite. And she's like, I want to play that too. I was like, okay, well, here, don't lose the cartridge. I'm just getting started. While she's doing that, I get completely into Breath of the Wild again in a way that I did not my first time through it. So I'm doing the same thing. It's like, oh, here's Classic. Here's Classic Zelda. Oh, man, I love it. I appreciate it. It's so cool. But here, you play that. I'm going to go to this other thing that's the new thing that I just kind of left for a while and forgot how awesome it was. It's how I do it. It's just me. Like, I played a little the other day. I got all those Batman games for free on the Epic Store. And I went, ooh, let's see how Arkham Asylum holds up. And I get in there and go, yeah, but what about that newest one? I played that instead. And it doesn't mean I don't appreciate Asylum. In fact, it's probably the best of the three, you know, at its core. But I just always get driven to the new hotness. And the same thing happened in WoW. It's exactly the same thing for me. And I'm so stoked that at least one of us is cranking through Classic and loving it. What level are you, by the way?
Thank you for finishing that sentence.
Yeah. What? Cranking it while they play Classic. What's your level? Where are you at?
I just hit 38 this morning. I was streaming right before the show.
Nice.
I've been streaming 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and doing the Classic and Coffee streams, which is it's really just become a thing for me. I don't stream games, Scott. This is not me. This is not something
really
I usually
a streamer.
Do.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I just, you know, we've got a Twitch channel and what has up until this point has been primarily for just live recording podcasts, but it's new for me and it's a challenge and it's cool and I'm into it. I've got this itch now to just stream because, you know, I'm seeing the growth and the folks that show up for these early morning streams for me. It's fun as hell.
Yeah.
It's a great community. It's a good Everyone's time. Chatting. We're talking Sylvanas spoilers and we don't all agree, but we're all being civil and stream is kind of cool. Yeah, I finally get it.
I think people like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the streaming thing, there might be something to it.
Yeah, there might be some legs there. Yeah. I think it might.
But it's ridiculous. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, shameless self-promotion, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 8 a.m. Eastern time, twitch.tv/8movetv. Come hang out. Let's play Classic together.
Excellent. Now this.
Even though I'm about to start traveling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's leaving. So don't enjoy it for a little bit. But yes, follow, subscribe, watch. All right, let's talk about what's happening in the rest of Blizzard. Not a ton. Overwatch, kind of quiet. Over last week, anyway. Hearthstone, people are still playing that single player and loving it, I guess.
They just announced they're bringing old cards back into Standard.
Whoa.
What?
Yes, they're doing an event where 20 some odd wild cards will be added back to Standard. They haven't announced all of them, but Nazoth and Ragnaros are two of them that are confirmed to be coming back during a limited time event.
Good lord.
Oh, so
and the cards
time.
Themselves, like you're going to, if you already have them, you're basically getting an event copy. And if you don't have them, you're getting the event copy. So everyone's going to have these cards to play with for as long as they are available to use in Standard.
Huh. I don't know why that surprises me so much. Totally surprised
cool.
by that.
Such a cool event.
Yeah.
This year, man, if you ever liked Hearthstone, 2019, I think, has been the greatest year for Hearthstone ever.
Really?
They are taking so many risks. They're doing so many things. that we've requested, so many things that we've never even thought they would ever even entertain.
Yeah.
It's been so surprising playing Hearthstone this year. I don't have enough nice things to say about it.
Nice.
I think they've just been killing it.
All right. Hearthstone Classic coming soon. So that sounds like.
yeah.
Heroes of the Storm, also kind of quiet, although they've got that event going. We mentioned that last week. And some they mentioned off some skins today, I noticed on Twitter, which seems cool. And the rework for White Mane is out, I believe. So if you are...
White Mane and Junkrat.
Junkrat, that's right. That's the other one that got a big change.
Everyone seems really happy with Junkrat. Everyone seems to universally hate the White Mane rework.
Yeah, nobody's thrilled with that. Although I barely played her in the original form, so I'm kind of excited to try it because maybe I'll like it better. I didn't like her at first.
They nerfed the hell out of her so quickly.
Mm. Sounds like Rexxar needs to get nerfed. Give Rexxar a nerf hit.
He has been a few times. He has been.
Yeah. Get rid of that bear. That bear's a real pain in my ass. Get rid of that.
Don't. Please don't. Please don't.
Imagine Rexxar and Heroes with no Misha. That would be funny.
I haven't one-tricked a hero this hard in a very long time.
Not since your old... who'd you used to love all the time?
See if Scott can remember.
Hold on. Your favorite character...
I've had a few.
Yeah, but the StarCraft lady that shoots goo out of her vagina, that's the one you like the most. And I can't think of her name. Hold on.
Zagara?
Zagara! Gosh dang it. Zagara.
Zagara, yeah, that's like that'll forever be my forever love with Heroes of the Storm will be Zagara.
Gooey with Zagara. Very nice.
No, I one tricked Rainer, Tychus, and Sonya, and now I'm on Rexxar, but this is a long one. This has been basically all of this year. It's been Rexxar. It's been the year of Rexxar for
the
me.
Year of Rexxar. Diablo 3, nothing really happening other than the new I've been playing that on that Switch again just for fun.
It was reclassified. If you're looking at job postings, it is now listed under the Classic Games division.
You know what that means. This is the BlizzCon where they're going to say it. It's going
to
happen.
You know what that means. A stop to the clock is correct twice a day.
Yep. Only takes me 4 years of claiming it's going to happen this year for it to happen. But boy, will I get credit.
There's going to be like a basketball game riot in the streets if a new Diablo game isn't announced at BlizzCon.
Oh, it'll be bad.
I don't
the actual Diablo happen. Outside.
Yeah,
it'll be hellfire.
The one thing that could make it acceptable but almost bearable would be if they announced like an entirely new IP, like they did with Overwatch 3-4 years ago.
Yeah,
like a completely new thing.
even then, I think it better be kind of like gritty and dark. Because if they come out with another Burger King's Kids Club looking game like Overwatch. and when you're expecting Diablo, I don't think that's going to satiate that particular portion of the Blizzard fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the one time in the history of Blizzard where I will agree that even if they're not ready to announce, they still have to announce.
Yeah, they have to. They have to do something.
They
got to put a big four up at least
and
say... This is happening, whether you know, and that has to be at the very
whether
least.
You like it or not.
Yeah, at the very least. I will hope it's a lot more than that, but yeah, that may be all they have to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's that. How about we get into this right here?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, time for the town crier. That means your emails, and we got one right here from Polenis, who has an interesting thing to say. This is classic related. He sent this email to theinstance@gmail.com and says this: "Hey Scott, super cool idea heard around the community somewhere. Don't remember where, unfortunately. Is having Chromie's retail model used for her in Classic? You know, as a small node. I think you meant nod to her part in Classic being available at all. Anyway, tell me what you think, Polenis." We talked about this a little bit last week, sort of, this idea of maybe use her more for stuff or have Caverns of Time be tied into some classic stuff. Just a way to sort of say, why does this exist? Trying to tie into the lore or whatever. But that would be a great subtle way to do it without having to do much else. Just stick her in there. She'll be a high, you know, high quality model of Chromie.
All of the Bronze Dragonflight. Why not, you know, use updated dragon models for the dragons? You know, those Dormu cool. hanging out in there.
Yep, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And you can still keep your big N64-looking texture shitball asteroid field that's up in the Caverns of Time.
Hey.
Keep that there.
Excuse
that's fine.
Me.
That thing's bad.
As someone who misses the old asteroids when I'm waiting in queue for Space Mountain, which were actual cookies, by the way. I love that stuff.
I don't love it. It's bad.
Is there anything more Disney ride queue than going down into the Caverns of Time?
I mean, it is a bit like that. It's like a line to go up Space Mountain. You're right. Oh my gosh, the funniest thing happened in Space Mountain line once. I have to tell you the story. My kids are a lot littler. It's about 2006 or something. And my daughter, who was 6 or 7, she did not want to get... We were in line for Space Mountain. She did not want to freaking be there. Anywhere but there. And she was already upset. And she kept saying to me, "Will this make me throw up, Dad? Will this make me throw up?" she said. And I said, "No, nobody throws up in these lines or in these rides." And as soon as I said it, we walked around one of the corners. And you can still hear 3PO somewhere going, or not 3PO, the voiceover guy. Thinking of the other thing, Star Tours. Anyway, you come around the side, and there's this giant splat bomb of yak. Somebody barfed right before we got to it. Right after I said, "No one throws up on these rides." And that was it. She got out of line and like stood to the side and just whimpered as we went and finished the ride. It was great.
Oh.
Yeah, good kid.
I don't blame her. I don't do well around vomit.
Vomit's no good.
Vomit makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, it comes from way down. I'm telling you, the change is when you get to be a dad, you got to clean up kid vomit. It's not bad. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's like pet vomit. You've had your dog barf. You can deal with it. It's fine. Right?
Yes, but I have very, very small animals.
That's true. You don't get a big barf patty out of a chihuahua, I found.
Yeah, that's why I stick with chihuahuas. The cleanup is manageable.
Indeed. Again, thank you, Polonis, for your email. And you can send those again to theinstance@gmail.com. Quick note of programming. There is a bonus episode up on the feed. It features an interview with Jason Hayes, the original music director and composer at Blizzard in the late 90s. He's responsible for much, if not most, of the StarCraft music as well. If you listen to, if you're playing the game and you've got the whole Artanis business going on, he was the voice of Artanis in that game. He also did the Probe and I forgot the other one. Corsair, maybe. Anyway, he did a lot of voice work for it as well, which we talked about all that stuff on the interview, and he was great. So it's a nice little bonus episode. It's up there now, and you can check it out. He gave us the WoW theme also, so that dun, 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 that whole thing, that's him, and he deserves a crap ton of credit for that, so do check that out. All right, before we go, we'd like to give everybody a chance to mention anything they have going on that's cool right now. Patrick, anything people should be checking out from you?
Sure. Go check out Pixels, a podcast about games and lots of games and lots of cool games. So go check that out. And also, if you like stuff about the world, go check out the Phileas Club. Both are available at FrenchSpin.com. Also, pictures of Finland and they're beautiful on Instagram at NotPatrick.
There you go. Great stuff all around. Garrett, what would you like to tell people today about your stuff?
Well, I already mentioned the stream, so yeah, head on over to twitch.tv/amovetv, give it a follow, so you'll be alerted to when I am I'm doing my classic and coffee streams in the AM time. Yeah. Also, if you do play in the AM on Peggle on Alliance side, I am looking for people that wake up. So I've got a little community started, so go to bit.ly/classicandcoffee, all spelt out. And join in there. So when I'm looking to run some dungeons, I'll pull some folks from there.
Very, very everything nice. Else, the only thing
else, Amove TV.
Oh yeah, Amove.tv, you guys. And he's Amove TV on Twitch, and of course Garrett Art on Twitter. Don't forget that. Also, speaking of Diablo, if they do indeed announce it, some may have noticed that on the Diablo Show feed of a podcast I used to do about Diablo back in like 2016. Put that on hiatus as we sort of waited, wondering what Blizzard was going to do next. I put up a file hinting that it will be back, and it will be if they do indeed announce what's next for Diablo, and it will be back on the regular. So if you're interested in Diablo coverage specifically, head on over to frogpants.com/Diablo and subscribe to that feed today.
I think, Scott, the fact that you're thinking about bringing the show back means that Diablo 4 is confirmed.
It's confirmed.
It's yet another sign.
Yeah.
I don't see how it could mean anything.
It's like those goats with four horns, or anytime I see four of anything, it's always confirming to me that Diablo 4 is coming. So watch for that. Also, there is a page up now for my game Rock Runners. I made a card game. Where'd it go? It's down here somewhere. I was going to show it to the camera. I can't find. Oh, there it is. So here it is. It's the green screen's jacking up for viewers at home, but because this box is green. But anyway, it's called Rock Runners Incorporated, and it includes 65 playing cards. It all look like this. And this is a finished deck, actually, all done, printed, and ready to go. We've been using it as a test deck. If you are interested in what this might be and when it might be available and what this is all about, you can check it out. I did all the art. I designed the game, and I'm very, very proud of it. It is coming soon so that we can try to get people copies of this by the holiday season. So do go check it out. That's over at frogpants.com/rockrunners. That's also linked on the main page there, so you can just find it real easy. Finally, a reminder that this show is supported by you, people like you, at our support system over at theinstance.net. You just go there, and then you click on the support button, and boom, you're presented with a bunch of options, and some of them are digital rewards, some are physical, but either way, you can get in and give back to the show you love the most. So go over there and check it out. That's theinstance.net. Do it today. The month's about to end. Perfect time to get in. Get some artwork sent to you. There's rad stuff in there, so go check it out. Also, those bonus episodes come because of that as well. So huge thanks to everybody who supports us, and please do if you have not yet. The show can be found at instantshow@gmail.com. Wait, no, that's our email. Instantshow on Twitter, theinstance@gmail.com. How many years have I been doing this? Theinstance.net is the website, at Scott Johnson, at Garrett Art, at Not Patrick, and more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Patrick, for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
Musicians find change to famous song to be more than a minor matter. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hans the Wind. As the months have passed since Sylvanas Windrunner became war chief, she has found ever more demanding ways of asserting her control on the various races that make up the Horde. Many of these are standard authoritarian fare, such as demanding loyalty to her alone instead of to ideals, such as honor. But with rumors of rebellion swirling, some of her edicts have become rather, well, odd, and have extended into areas that one would have thought were completely non-political. One recent example, music. The War Chief has made it be known that all Horde music must be in minor keys to instill fear and unease in enemies that hear it. Now, for some songs, this isn't a change. The Lament of the Highborn, for example, is already in E-flat minor, which completely suits its haunting story. But the edict has two additional parts. First, to emphasize that Horde tunes are in opposition to Alliance music, the standard key notation must be reversed, so the Lament is in minor flat E. Second, the use of flat has been banned, as it is not warlike enough. Thus, the iconic song of the Banshee Queen must now be transposed two steps up and written in minor sharp E.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.